the cell phone tower companies, when you think about where you are in the cycle, why 5G has been so important. Because as you go through the 5G build out, the carriers are having to go in, replace antennas, and the underlying cash flow of the cell phone tower companies can increase through that replacement.
Hello and welcome to the REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Borkson-Quito. Joining me today for a look at the cell tower REIT sector and what sets it apart from other real estate asset classes is Darren Turner, Managing Director and Chief Investment Officer for Invesco's Listed Real Estate Assets team. Darren, thank you for joining me on the podcast today.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah, very much for having me.
Let's start by stepping back just a little. What is the REIT share of cell tower assets in the US, broadly speaking, today? And can you give our listeners an overview of how the industry has really grown in recent years?
Sure. No, I haven't hit on those topics. When you think about U.S. total cell sites, so that is going to include both macro tower sites, but then also small cell sites. There's about 420,000 cell sites, again, across the United States. Of just cell sites, the tower companies control approximately 70% or have 70% market share. Within macro towers, so those are your large towers that are generally going to be on the sides of highways, there's about 150,000 of those in the U.S. Of the macro tower sites, the REITs control about 90% of market share. So you saw the initial growth or the initial influx of ownership by the cell phone tower REITs focused within the macro tower sites. That was driven by a disposition of the carriers. Really going back to the early 2000s, of their macro tower assets. The REITs were there looking to acquire those during that period of time. And you really haven't seen a significant new development of macro tower sites in any size really for the past decade. So that number has stayed relatively stable. Not surprisingly, none of us really want a macro tower site in our backyard. That said, they are incredibly important when you think about the over-network ability and ability to serve those customers. Now, where you have seen the most growth recently by the cell phone tower REITs, it's really internationally. So going into both emerging markets, areas like India, Africa, Brazil, and then also more recently, even in the developed market in places like Europe. When you think about ex-US cell phone or telecom infrastructure, they are generally behind what has occurred in the United States. And so you're still seeing a build out of macro tower sites in those regions, a build out of small cell nodes. And so the cell phone tower REITs, primarily American Tower, but also SBA Communications, have looked to enter those markets. Now, lastly, another area you've seen growth domestically with Crown Castle has been in the small cell area. So Crown Castle has been focused on creating new small cell nodes, signing up tenants, and focus on what that development is related to fiber connections to small cell, and then eventually to their macro tower sites.
Great. And we'll talk about overseas markets in a little bit. But is there a reason why REITs have become such a dominant force in this market segment, say, as opposed to private players?
I would really characterize it in three categories. So first is being your overall size of your network. So by having a larger and larger portfolio of cell phone tower assets, the value you can create to the carrier or the value that you're bringing to the table actually increases. So if I'm a private owner and I only own one macro tower site, the carriers aren't going to be as interested in negotiating with me just because I'm not nearly as important to the network versus American Tower, who owns 40,000 macro sites across the United States. Now, in addition to just level of importance, it's also ease of negotiation. So you see a lot of what we call master lease agreements in the cell phone tower industry, meaning the carriers, such as AT&T, T-Mobile, they don't want to have to go in and negotiate leases on a tower-by-tower level. So again, being someone like American Tower that has significant ownership, I'm able to negotiate directly with an AT&T about my lease structure for the entirety of the portfolio. So that also gives them an advantage over the private players. And then lastly, what I'd say is just level of how they're capitalized. And so access to capital by the cell phone tower companies versus private buyers, you see a significant difference in cost of capital. And so their ability to access the equity markets, the corporate bond market, and then even asset-backed securities, they're able to drive their cost of capital down much more so as just an individual private owner could.
It sounds like you've touched on a lot of potential barriers to entry in the sector. Are there any other issues that are really making it difficult to get into the cell tower space?
One is just the desire of local communities to have macro tower sites introduced, so new construction. And so, again, if I own an existing portfolio, the carriers generally know they're not going to be able to engage a developer to go build a new one. And so they are very keen to work with the largest owners of their portfolios, again, because municipalities are generally trying to reduce or limit the number of macro tower sites just because of the aesthetic nature of what that is in the community. Now, there are new solutions. Some of the listeners maybe have seen what looks like a tree, but in reality is a macro tower site. That is one element where they're trying to introduce, and again, aesthetically make it more pleasing. But it is still, at the end of the day, metal that, again, communities aren't really looking to be introducing. So just new supply on the macro tower site is incredibly limited.
Yeah, I've seen some of those so-called trees. You sort of have to do a double take sometimes.
Exactly right.
How have cell tower REITs performed relative to the broader market and the REIT industry? And would you say that they're a fairly good bet in times of economic uncertainty?
Yeah, and so I'll answer this in a couple of different time frames. So over the long term, so really over the past 10 plus years where you've had publicly traded REIT cell phone tower companies, they have been one of the best performing sectors within listed real estate. Now, the reasons for that is one, they run a very high margin business. So their margins on operations are approximately 90%. So just your free cash flow generation is much higher than what you see in other property sectors, especially areas like office, which is very capital intensive. So going into it, your business creates more free cash flow. Additionally, what you've seen in the United States and really in all parts of the world is just higher demand for data, which means greater data transmission, means greater data storage. And we've continually seen the U.S. and other areas move from 3G to 4G to 5G, which I'm sure we're going to touch on in more detail. But that has created a level of demand by the carriers to be leasing the macro tower sites, leasing small cell sites, and to having to be touch the antennas. So fundamentally, not only is it a better underlying cash flow business, but you've had underlying demand drivers that have helped move cash flows higher during that period of time. So that's kind of the long-term look. What you see more recently over the past 2 years is that cell phone tower companies have been one of the underperforming segments of listed real estate. When you think about my ability to capture economic growth, meaning as we come out of a recession like we did through COVID, my ability to move cash flow tied to that growth is very limited for the cell phone tower companies. They're much more driven by what is the carrier CapEx cycle. And they're not able to turn those leases quickly, and they're not going to capture extra rent growth because the underlying economy is opening up. So as interest rates have moved higher because of the level of growth we've seen since COVID, you've seen those names underperform as people have thought about that stability of cash flow not being as valuable in a higher interest rate environment. Now, more specifically to your question, in times of economic uncertainty, yes, cell phone tower companies historically perform very well when you see economic deterioration. And so just like I highlighted earlier, it's because my underlying business is one, very stable, two, can be countercyclical because it's based upon carrier CapEx plans, which are very long-term in nature. So when you look at sensitivity to economic growth, cell phone tower companies generally have around a 1% economic sensitivity to GDP. It is one of the lowest correlations to underlying economic growth within the listed real estate space.
And I think some of our listeners may not really understand how the cell tower leasing structure works. Can you talk a little bit about that and what sets it apart from other property sectors?
Sure. So I mentioned earlier, normally you see an MLA or master lease agreement covering a large part of a cell phone tower company's portfolio. Now, these leases vary between 5 and 10 years in length, and they normally come with 3% annual escalators. Now, when you think about that length and you think about that escalator, that part's not necessarily too dissimilar to how you think of some other real estate sectors. In addition to that lease, you have what is really a service agreement, and this relates to cell phone tower companies having to change antennas on those towers, or the carriers having to come in and replace an antenna that was related to 4G and replace it now one that has to carry 5G. So the cell phone tower companies actually collect a service fee related to that replacement of antennas. So that is very different than what you'd see in a normal lease structure, where you just are paying true market rent and potentially expenses. Here you, again, have an element of replacement. And that's why the cell phone tower companies, when you think about where you are in the cycle, why 5G has been so important. Because as you go through the 5G build-out, the carriers are having to go in, replace antennas, and the underlying cash flow of the cell phone tower companies can increase through that replacement.
Great. So it sounds like you really see a lot of potential for the cell tower REIT segment from 5G coming on board.
Yeah. So we have seen a significant pickup over the past 2 years as relates to the build out of 5G. We would characterize the 5G build out being in around the 6th or 7th inning. So the next 2 years going forward, we would expect that level to actually start to decrease as relates to true touches on the tower. Now, again, for this industry, remember, it's not necessarily what I call static, meaning we went from 3G to 4G to 5G, and that build-out between 4G and 5G happened in a shorter period of time than 3G to 4G. So our expectation would be that the next round of build-out, as we think about moving to something like a 6G, and I'll just use that name, that time frame of what's needed will actually be shorter. And the real reason for that is just how technology works, the speed of technology, and again, the amount of data and the amount of coverage needed to support that data, what that has been in the United States.
And reverting back to one of our earlier topics, global expansion, what are some of the opportunities and challenges that the sector faces in those areas?
Sure. Yeah. So I'll start with opportunities. So the first opportunity really is the continued build out of tower sites in a lot of these markets. So when you think of emerging markets, most of the population in an emerging market actually doesn't have a computer. So they're purely reliant on their smartphone to be their 100% access to the internet and how they live their daily lives. And so the need for more towers in those sites, just because of the amount of usage, is actually higher. And so being able to actually construct new towers is one of those opportunities in those markets. Additionally, when you think of places like in Italy or a France or a Spain, they are what I would say about 3 years behind on the 5G build-out. So the opportunity in that market is to really be looking to acquire underlying tower sites that need to make the transition from 4G to 5G to capture a lot of that uplift on antenna replacement I highlighted earlier. Now, from a challenging standpoint, the first one is working with local governments. And so in certain parts of the world, because people view telecom infrastructure as such a security risk, your ability to truly behave in a free market environment can be more limited. So we've seen that in multiple countries, places like China, certain aspects of India. The government at times has stepped in to make a determination on what level of rent is actually appropriate to make sure that a level of build-out is still occurring. Now, additionally, you have to worry about carrier viability in a lot of these markets, meaning when you think about the U.S., we really have three carriers today that are very well capitalized overall from just debt on the balance sheet versus cash and assets. In some of the other countries, especially in emerging markets, you're dealing with companies that are relatively more new, meaning that the risk of bankruptcy, the risk of them having to pull back CapEx plans is just much higher. Again, India has been a prime example of this, where the government has had to step in, force industry consolidation because of the financial health of the carriers, which can limit new underlying demand. Now, lastly, what I'll say is you do have a currency risk associated with going internationally as well. Obviously, the cell phone tower REITs are U.S.-based. They get paid in local currency in those markets. And so they're having to introduce levels of hedging that can increase volatility of your underlying cash flow when they have their quarterly earnings.
Great, Dan. We've covered lots of ground, but is there anything else that you think we should throw into the mix today?
I think I have to throw out AI as part of this conversation. Obviously, that has been the topic du jour in the overall markets now for the past few months. Cell phone tower companies haven't really seen any price benefit from a lot of the excitement around the AI. And our core belief does remain that as elements like AI that get introduced, all that means is that the amount, again, of data transmission, data storage, your connection to a network, all increase exponentially. And so if I'm controlling truly the core aspect of someone's network, and so that is going from your smartphone to a tower site, then connecting the fiber to a data center, and so the macro tower is incredibly important in that, we think long-term that the cell phone tower companies do get a benefit from AI as well. And now in the one point specifically around this, you have seen a lot of conversations, and we are big believers in this, and what's called edge computing. So meaning small data centers at the edge of macro tower sites. You've seen some testing in the market so far by some of the cell phone tower companies, but it hasn't been rolled out through their portfolios. As we move forward over the next 5 years, that is another revenue stream that we believe that the cell phone tower companies are going to be able to capture as well.
Excellent, Darren. Thank you. This has been really helpful.
I appreciate the time and everyone listening today.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode of the REIT Report, please subscribe or leave a review on your favorite podcast platform.